Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show and listening each and every week. You know, if you want to hear the show, you can hear us in a number of different ways. The best way to see and hear us is go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. You can see this as well as our weekly LinkedIn or Facebook type shows that we do called The Mortgage Minute on a bunch of social media. We also have a terrific website, themortgagevoice.com. Go there, see the show, see what we do. Look at some of the guests we have. If you see someone or hear someone you like on the show, go to themortgagevoice.com. You'll see their profile and their picture, and you can look them up and call them at your leisure. Anyway, again, thanks for tuning in. I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Lots going on. I've been away for the last couple of weeks. I got to tell you, there are many things that can distract you from what you're trying to do, whether it's buy a house or whether it's refinance because you need money. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons. And John and I were just talking about it off air about why you would need money. But the distractions that can really interrupt what you do on a bit, whether it's health related, we have some health related things in my own family, whether it's the news of the day, whether it's the inflation eating up your paycheck, whether it's the war overseas just occupying your mind, or whether it's just local issues, whether it's, you know, BLM, or whether it's other stressful topics that you got to deal with on a daily basis. The focus of what you need to do to buy a home today is really at a premium. Why? Because your rates have gone up, right? I mean, simply and solely, the rates have gone up. Now, obviously, we don't have the inventory that we would like to have. Rates going up may solve some of that problem, but then again, your affordability is still out of whack with what the rates are going to be. So if you are among this crowd of people, I'm among that crowd of people who really get lost a lot of times in other stuff. Let's just sit for a second here and talk about mortgages, simple mortgages. Your base rate mortgage today, 30-year fixed rate mortgage, is it about 5%? Now, what does that mean? What is, obviously, it's a payment. It's a monthly payment, and most people got to really focus in on what they can afford every month. Not 360 payments. No, don't focus on that. Focus on what the rates are today and how much is that going to cost you. Every percentage point in rate will cost you $100 for $100,000 worth of loan, right? So if you have a $500,000 loan at 1%, how much is it going to cost you? $500 a month. So the rates being 5% at $100,000 is going to cost you $5,000. So if it's a $500,000, it's $25,000 simple interest on a yearly basis. Now, all loans are amortized. What does that mean? It means your payments are the same today, next month, and at 360 months, the payment is the same, but the amount of your principal that you're paying down, which is really the aim and the goal of anybody who has a mortgage, is to pay that principal off, is changing. So the principal that you pay on the first month is quite different than the principal you pay on the last month, meaning that up front, the lender, whoever's giving you the money, is going to get their money first. So the first 5 to 10 years of the loan is primarily interest payments to the bank. So when people talk about refinances, when they talk about taking money out of their house, the calculation that you always have to make is, how much money in interest have I already spent? Is it worth for me to continue to pay because I've already paid a great amount of interest already? Or is it, do I really need the money so bad I don't care? I've just lost that money. Now, all lenders want you to refinance with them, of course, about every 4 or 5 years. Why? Because it's perpetual interest payments and the principal never goes down. Now, that's one of the things you got to focus on. Many people have equity in their house. This is what the point is, you're sitting at home, you have equity in your house. You don't know whether you want to sell your house, keep the house, take money out of the house because there's equity in it. If you take money out, how do you do it? Most people just redo their first loan and re-up for another 30 years or whatever it is, because they're really only worried about the payment and they need that $50,000 or $100,000, whatever it is that you need. To consider how long you've been in the house, how long you've been making those mortgage payments, there's the home equity line of credit. There's a second mortgage. Now, both of those things would leave intact your first mortgage, the amount of money that you're paying or already have paid into the system. And maybe after 5 or 6 or 7 years, you've already got good amount of momentum towards paying the principal off. Now, anybody that's at that time limit in their loan will look at their mortgage statement on a monthly basis, and please look at the mortgage statement. Mistakes are made all the time by the servicer. You want to catch them early so that it doesn't become a problem later. I digress. When you look at that mortgage statement, you will see that the principal amount that you pay on the loan after 5 or 6 years has really jumped from, like, I don't know, 10 or 15% to 25, 30% of the payment you made that month. And as each year goes by, more payment towards the principal. So when you're looking at refinancing your property to take money out, look to the HECM, the home equity line of credit, and look to the second mortgage, just to see if it's worth it, even if your second mortgage is priced out at 5 or 6%. You're only going to be using $50,000, $100,000, maybe tops, as opposed to the $500,000 first you have. So if you're adding on to it, the blended rate of your big mortgage at whatever it is, 3%, let's say, or it could even be less, and your new loan, second loan, smaller amount, larger payment in terms of the interest you're paying, you have to see what the amount of money you're paying that versus paying for an entire new loan, starting the interest all over again. I bet you'll find that if you took out a second, it's cheaper for you. But that's something really to investigate, because I don't want to see anybody lose focus because they got stuff going on in their life, you know, like me. And you're just saying, I need the money, I don't care, quick is better. It's not better. You need to slow down and take really a good look at exactly what's happening in your financial life, even though all this stuff is going on. Because believe me, not only this year, but last year, as we were talking previously, we're just talking about the industry and how things change, and whether it's in media or whether it's in radio, as we were, John and I were just talking. The things that change for us will always remain constant, meaning that it's always going to happen. I got kids now, and when I had little kids, it was one kind of problem. I got older kids, and it's a different kind of problem, but they don't go away. Health problems at my house, well, guess what? I'm getting older. Those are going to be more plentiful, believe me. So let's get into a little bit of the rates. We have a couple of minutes left here in the first segment. I mentioned 30-year fixed rate, 5.15%. 4.45% is the 15-year, 4.75 is FHA, 4.35 is the jumbo, and 4.02 is the 5-1 ARM. Now, we talked a little about how the 10-year and how the 2-year had crossed, the dreaded inversion of the 2 and the 10. And usually that portends or signals that there's going to be a recession. Well, it's back up in positive territory, meaning that the 10-year is yielding over a quarter point more than the 2-year. So this back and forth, up and down, this inversion or reinversion, as I would like to call it, has really come to, I don't know, where are we in the inflation? And that's a good thing. What is happening with the economy, and how you have to look at that if, in fact, you're looking at buying a house? Many people are calling for a recession, okay? One of the reasons for that is the federal government, the Fed in particularly, and the Treasury have gotten together and say, hey, we got to raise the short-term lending rates for member banks on the short-term interest rates. And that's when they say the Fed is raising rates. That's what they're talking about. We talked about it many times on the show. So the Fed raises the rates a quarter point. They're about to raise the rates another half percentage point. What does that do to demand in the marketplace if mortgage interest rates are tied to the 10-year? Well, conversely, the mortgage interest rates on the 10-year are going to rise too. So that in turn is going to raise mortgage interest rates. And as a result of that, it's going to put a chill on the housing market. Putting a chill on the housing market, that's one of the four pillars of the economy. It's one of the things that has driven the economy successfully through the pandemic. A lot of industries haven't done well. The mortgage and real estate industry has killed it. If you've been watching anybody, you've seen the equity in your house grow by 20% a year the last couple of years. Well, that's because of the demand, which is driven because the interest rates, again, have been extremely low. Anyway, it's Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. I will talk to you later in the show. Appreciate you listening. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. With me now, as you can probably hear in the background, is Charles Giscombe. He's a tremendous loan officer and asset to Malibu Funding. He's the qualified employee and manager in the Nevada office, as well as, you know, just somebody that knows a lot about loans. And we've been talking. First off, hi, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Excellent. Okay, so in earlier segments in the show, I had been talking a lot about, you know, what's happening with the world and what's happening with rising rates, inflation, a bunch of things, taking people's eye off the ball of what they can do. And I think refocusing people's attention, especially those that want to buy right now in this purchase market, to what we can offer them in terms of solutions is the best way to, for them as borrowers, as people who want to buy a home, to get into it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, obviously across the board, based upon everything that's happening, the war and different things that affect mortgages heavily, you have some indecisiveness in regards to where markets are going. You're going to have the expectation that these rates are going up as they are. We had a good run, but now the rates are on the way up. I think we're looking at, for the 30-year right now, Jeff, I think we might be at a 4.625, actually, on an average, which is it's a lot. You know, we haven't been used to that for a second. So I tell people all the time, that's what's happening. But there's other things that we can do to help put us in a situation and continue buying, especially with non-QM. Now what's happening is non-QM is looking a little bit more promising for the simple fact that you have the ability to get into these loans versus traditional loans, and you can do a 90% LTV loan with no mortgage insurance. So that'll cut down on the amount of money that the check you stroke every month. Also, non-QM provides also alternative kind of programs. For example, if a person is interest rate conscious and used to that payment being lower, right, you can offer them a 40-year interest-only loan.
Yep.
Now, that person has 480 months amortized where they can pay interest-only, right? And then that way, they can kind of cut their costs down and make them comparable to where a 5 or 6% interest rate traditional loan would be. So there's other things that we can provide and offer to them that will allow them an opportunity to still stay in the game, stroke a lower check than what the actual rates show, because a lot of people get scared off by that.
Right.
And still allow them to transact. So that's just one of the many things that we can do with a non-QM loan versus a traditional loan. But obviously, if you want to go tax returns and go the full boat, then you can get a jumbo loan, but they're going to be paying maybe 5.625, which is very high. And that also is, is a little scary for individuals who have been used to the all-time lows that we've been seeing over the last 5-6 years.
Hey, have you seen out there appraisals working against what the rates are? Meaning, if rates are going up and you get an appraisal in the door that is okay, and then the rates go up and the lender comes back and says, hey, you know what, we want to review that appraisal. Have you seen that happening? We had this happen on a deal, and it was really...
we do see it, because a lot of times people need to understand the industry, the experts, okay, the lenders, they're in the business, and they're seeing things real time as well. And now their floor rates and their par rates are growing too, and they have promised these individuals these interest rates, which are now costing them money.
Right.
So what will happen is you'll get an appraisal held up, you'll get another QC that has to happen.
Right.
Certain
right.
things happen to stop those situations from occurring, so that they can kind of gather themselves, get themselves on their feet, probably change their rate sheet and structure, and say something of the sort like, if you don't have your loan closed by this time,
right,
we have to change the floor rate to another rate, which means you have to jump into another tier. It's what the market is telling us that we have to do. And that's when those appraisals will come back and there'll be different issues. Or, for example, you may have to now get a roof inspection.
Yep.
You didn't have to have before.
Right. Right. That's right. All these things that drive sellers insane, and everybody in the chain from trying to fund that loan to the real estate agents are getting an earful. Not only an earful, but you know, you could get attorneys involved. People get mad because it's just not getting the rate that they were promised. So what happens all the time? Usually the lender or the broker or the real estate agent giving up money to buy that rate back down.
You're talking to the best of them at it.
Right.
And sometimes, even with the rates going higher, we have a deal, Jeff, that we know about, we spoke about.
Yep.
We have an initial disclosure of 7.25. And then when the lot comes back, the price has worsened. Now you send that person back with an 8.125. It's because the market has adjusted and you haven't locked that rate yet. But it's very difficult to explain to a client that the initial rate that they saw on the initial disclosures, even though they weren't able to lock at that point, it's hard to tell them that now their rate is 8.125 and it's locked and there's nothing you can do about it. It makes it seem, and it puts the brokers and the agents and the loan officers in a bad situation. It looks like we're baiting and switching. But
right.
We don't control the secondary market. So you have to be very forthright in telling them, this is the initial rate. We need to get the loan done so we can lock it if you want to keep this rate. If you want to gamble and take a Vegas chance on the fact that the prices or the rates will get better, then that's going to be to your own discretion. I don't want to be responsible for it because I do know the volatility that's occurring right now. And so you have to be very mindful and forthright to individuals because they'll see initial disclosure, not knowing the business so well, Jeff, and hold you to that even though you're not the person to hold it to.
No, that's true. I mean, and the last thing you want anyway is have your client calling the lender, because then the lender's not going to give them any break at all. They're just going to shut down the phone and, you know, hey, take it or leave it. And you don't want that.
And that's it.
Right.
And you keep and you leave us in a situation, Jeff, where at Malibu Funding, we like to treat everybody fairly.
Right.
And we understand that if you don't understand, it's an innocent ignorance that you have. And it's our responsibility to walk you through that and handhold. And sometimes, Jeff, we end up paying for that.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think more often than not, we would step in and try to do something. Either we could do it with making less, but being able to help the borrower by buying down the rate, or eliminating some fees that may be in there that also could help the borrower in terms of their APR.
You are absolutely correct, Jeff. It happens all so often, and especially now in this climate, in this temperature, when individuals are seeing these rates climb, they're becoming very afraid, and they're looking to find where they can recoup their costs or earnest money or due diligence
right.
because they feel like we weren't going to close this loan, so we're going to be out of our money. And that is something that we have to always, when we're teaching our clients, just being forthright, just being transparent, letting them know about the process along the way. And that way we can create a level of comfort and trust with them so they'll know if we're telling them something, that we're doing something within their best interest. And if it truly is out of our hands, it truly is out of our hands.
Now, it brings up another point. In a climate like this where we have rising interest rates and people are desperate to either get in a house or do a refinance, we see more instances of altered documentation now than we would in an upmarket where everybody's making money and loans are easy to get. How do we inform the clients about the dangers of doing that, especially in desperation by either the loan officer or the client themselves, while still trying to gain trust with them, you know, without saying, hey, you know what, don't do this, don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that when they're trying to get out sensitive financial information. But to be able to tell somebody, hey, this is a real problem and we got to watch this, because the lender is going to be really hyper-vigilant and inspecting what comes in, especially nowadays.
Correct, Jeff. So we have to understand, we are truly in the trust business.
Right.
We're in the trust business. We're in the middle of both sides. We have an allegiance, obviously, to ourselves, Jeff, as Malibu Funding. Working here as long as I have, I'm very proud and happy to be a part of this team. So we have an allegiance to our company and ourselves first. We have an allegiance to the lender because they're loaning us the money and trusting that we will do the best we can from a processing and from just a standpoint of making sure that the loan is turned in and the process occurs correctly. And then lastly, but most importantly, we have an allegiance to our client. So we have to make sure that we let them know that, you know, this is the way it gets done. This is the best way to do it. And also let them know there are some ramifications that occur if some things that are done that are not by the book in regards to loans. So we have to let them know that. And I always tell people all the time, the reason why you're sitting here with me is because I have taken care of Malibu Funding. I've taken care of myself and my license for all these years. I haven't been doing this for 27 years for no reason. And I can't let a relationship with a bank or one transaction jeopardize my ability to do loans for Malibu Funding, myself, my family. So across the board, I always let people know there are true penalties that can occur. And there's always a different way to go about it than the way you think the easy path is for trying to alter documentation. At the same time, Jeff, we have a responsibility to let individuals know that if the lender gets involved, we have to be forthright in how this information or what has happened has occurred.
Right.
Therefore, not to say we're whistleblowers, but just to say there's a lot of people that feed their families through Malibu Funding. We have to make sure that all those people are protected and that documentation, all information, all loan documents come through as clean as they possibly can to be transferred out of Malibu Funding's hands to the lender of choice.
Chuck, thank you very much. That's great. And that's exactly how most companies, most people in the loan business, even most borrowers would think. But there's a temptation in a market like this to alter the docs. So, you know, you just got to be vigilant and understand that, yeah, this is a responsibility not only of the borrower, but everybody in the chain. Anyway, we're up against it, and I really appreciate you coming on the show once again, really talking about some great things and programs and how the market is now. Thanks, Charles.
Not a problem, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you this show, and we are on the weekends on a number of different affiliates. You can hear the show, KMET, KCAA. That's in the Inland Empire in Southern California. I want to say hi to my San Bernardino and Riverside friends. We're also at K-Tahoe up in Central California and the Tahoe area. Obviously, you can hear that show in a great deal of area. I mean, it broadcasts and we're heard all over. But Tahoe's our central up there, and I appreciate that listening audience, as well as Albuquerque, New Mexico, down there at K-Mine Country. We've been on that that station, I think, for a couple of years now. We get a lot of good feedback, and we're always appreciative of the people down there who do add to the show by giving us some comments. And certainly in Las Vegas, Nevada, K-Ship at AM 1400. We're on Saturday afternoons. If you hear us there, that's great. You can also catch us on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. This show is there in video as well as audio, and we do a number of different things during the week at the Mortgage Minute for LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the different ways that you can catch us. And you know what? We have several different accounts. The Mortgage Voice is one of our LinkedIn accounts. If you want to go there or go to themortgagevoice.com, all of these places you can see and hear the show, see our guests, and contribute to what we're trying to do. Thank you very much for tuning in with us once again. To help us understand what's going on with the market is an experienced person who has been on the show several times from PMA. It's Connie Hernandez. Connie, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm just doing great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, two things I want to ask you right off the top. Real estate and what's happening in your area, and of course the rising interest rates, has that cooled off the market any?
Well, it's cooled off the market that in, you know, pretty much in the domino effect where rates go up. So now your pre-quals have to come back and get pre-qualed again.
Right, right.
So there's been adjustments where, you know, they may have been qualified for, I'll just take a number, 500. Now more so with the rates increasing, they're going to be qualified for 480. So
okay.
It does definitely affect the buying power for the buyers at this time. And, you know, obviously, it definitely affects those people that that were considering refinancing and may have missed the opportunity for those low rates.
Okay. Now, you say that, and in the professional way you're saying it, I'm thinking in my head, what are people thinking? Did they think it was going to get down to 1%? Those rates were so low for so long, and I'm sure you have clients, I do too, that are like, oh, are the rates still low? And you're thinking, "What? Where have you been?
Yes, you know, as we all try to take care of our clients,
right.
we try to notify them when we believe it's a good time for them to reconsider either refinancing or potentially maybe even doing some debt consolidation, which would be in their benefit given that interest rates on a large amount of debt. Now, a lot of my clients did take advantage of that, but there's those few, as you mentioned, that just truly believed that those rates were going to go below 1%, which, you know, you and I both know that would be, unless you're going to pay a tremendous amount of money to buy the rate down, that just wasn't going to happen. But, you know, in all reality, you know, we've been around, you know, for a little bit now, and the rates where we're at now basically are more realistic rates, you know, for the economy and for before, obviously, the pandemic and, you know, before everything that happened that created the rates to, you know, be held back by the, you know, higher powers that be, right?
Right. I think, you know, where we are today with rates, if we didn't have the pandemic, we'd probably be exactly where we are, meaning that we were starting to see rates go up anyway before the pandemic. It was just kind of the time of the way the economy was going. And we may not have seen the inflation hit that we've seen, which kind of takes away some of the buying power. But I believe rates, even though rates are what they are, they're still not horribly bad. I mean, my first loan was 8.75%. So, and I was happy to get it, by the way. All right, next. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it's just that I think the younger generation, you know, leaving college, getting into the situation where they were looking to purchase homes in the last 5 years were extremely spoiled. And, you know, maybe those
that's
are
the whole generation, Connie. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing for everybody out there who's under 40, let's say. Sorry about that. That's an old guy talking. Don't worry about it.
Well, we're in the same age group.
Jeff. No, I didn't want to say anything, Connie, but all I'm saying is I remember when, you know, I hate those people, but I'm one of those now, especially when it comes to mortgage rates. I mean, like 5%. When I got a 5.125 15-year fixed, I was so happy. Oh, my gosh. I thought the world was, you know, coming up roses that day. And, of course, the rates dipped and went down. We paid off our house, and the rates kept going down. Rates. Okay, let's talk about that. So we talked about where were people when rates were low. Well, let's talk about the people who really need to take money out of the equity they've built in the house. Is it better to refinance the entire mortgage or to do a second or a HELOC?
In my opinion, I think it's a very individual situation. Obviously, if someone has a 2% interest rate on their first,
right,
and they really need to pay those high interest rates debts off, like whether it be credit cards or student loans in some cases, but they just don't see the end of the tunnel, then I wouldn't touch their first. I mean, not with a 2% interest rate. But if it makes sense and they're willing to extend the loan, maybe a 20, 15-year loan back to a 30, and it makes sense financially because maybe there is a loss of income. You know, a lot of people took a hit when it came to a lot of businesses closing. They took their jobs back with lesser pay. I actually have quite a few clients that are in the IT. You know, they're in the IT, one form or another, workforce, and unfortunately, they took a big hit on their income.
Yep.
So now they were making that 120, maybe they're now making 80,000. So now they have debt, they have, you know, they want to make sure that they live in a, you know, comfortable, situation. So refinancing for someone that has a 3.5 potentially and paying off debt may give them that comfort zone that they need. So I think that's a very individual situation.
Okay. You talk about debt. Let's talk about that for a second. In the clients that you see coming through the door today versus maybe a year ago during the middle of the pandemic, are you seeing the savings rate go down? Do you see the debt piling up? Do you see more people taking on more credit card debt today than they were? Or is it different at all?
No, I honestly absolutely see a lot more debt.
Right.
With the clients that I am currently working with, they use their credit cards to survive for the most part, you know, for one reason or another. And now they have to deal with that. You know, now they're back to work and now they're dealing with the situation that they have this extra debt. I mean, at the time, if you're home because your business shut down, you have to do something, right?
Right.
So, fortunately, I didn't really hear too much where credit card companies were closing down credit cards. So a lot I didn't really hear that much of that happening. So credit cards were a way a lot of people survived. And now, even if it means a HELOC, as you said, or even a second. And honestly, in some cases, I'm not sure if you're seeing that in your area, but in some cases, people have a HELOC and they're doing thirds. I mean, the equity is there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and it doesn't make sense to refi a small first. They have a HELOC. They don't really want to use the HELOC, so they do a third.
Right. Yeah, the solutions that people can come up with, I just know that this is the type of market where those kind of refis to take money out for whatever reason is happening. And how people look at their financial situation is really important. Listen, I only have about 30 seconds left. If you could tell people how they could reach you to really talk through some of these issues, that'd be awesome.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Sure.
I'm in downtown Pasadena, 101 North Citrus, right in the corner of Citrus and Bedello. You can reach me. My direct number is 626-422-2017. And this is Connie Hernandez. Be glad to answer any of your questions.
Okay, thanks, Connie. Thanks very much. That's Connie Hernandez from PMA. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You know, if you want to hear what we're doing, you can go to a number of different podcasts that we have. We're on Spreaker and
we're on Apple Podcasts and on Google Podcasts now too. Did you say Spotify,
Spreaker,
YouTube, Podclips.io.
Podclips.io. Now that's an interesting place. If you go to Podclips.io, guess what? You can see and hear many different experts in fields like lifestyle and sports, and mine is finance or home or cooking or whatever it is that you have a passion for. Probably got a pretty good podcast there. It's new. Go to it. Podclips.io. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. With me from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Mike Torres from Home Funding Corporation. Been on the show many times. Mike, how are you?
How are you? Hello.
I'm fine, thank you. Okay, give us the rundown of what's happening in Albuquerque. When the rates went up, what happened to the real estate and mortgage market?
Well, basically, the inventory was completely just shot.
Yep.
There was, I think it went from 12,000, 13,000 in homes inventory to down to, I don't know, what, 500?
Unbelievable.
500 homes.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the biggest.
That's a big jump.
Incredible jump. Now, because rates have risen, are we going to see the inventory rise because fewer people can afford to buy?
Well, that's the sad part about it is sometimes I think there's going to be some more inventory, but a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford their homes.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's going to be reversed. People are going to lose their homes and have to do the loan modification or what's going to happen, but. Now, we'll just pay it by ear, I guess.
Yeah, do you see any interest in that 40-year interest-only option or the recast? I saw FHA come out with something that said you could recast the 30-year into the 40-year if you qualify, and I think some of the qualifications are lost job, health reasons, stuff like that.
Well, I haven't heard that yet, but I should look into it because I should follow all the rules of what's happening. But I have not heard that yet about
okay.
the 40-year.
Yeah, it's a solution. I read on Housing Wire, I think I read about it. It's an interesting solution, but I don't think they've rolled it out so much to say, okay, you can go to this lender and they'll do it, or go to your own lender and they'll do it through this program. I don't know if they've gotten there yet. What do you see in terms of the programs that are currently, that you're currently doing down there? Programs from lenders, what kind of, is it 30-year conventional? Is it FHA? What are you doing?
Well, basically the mostly refinanced, but now that the rates went up, we're starting to do a lot of programs called non-QM loans.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which they can use either bank statement deposits as income self-employed, or they can use their 1099s.
Okay. And what type of programs? Are they like a 30-year fixed? Are they
30-year, 40-year. I think they go up to 40-year. For self-employed people that want to buy or people that want to be able to refinance.
Okay, and the interest rates on these types of loans, are they similar to what the Fannie Freddie products are, or are they higher?
They're a lot higher, but there's no private mortgage insurance, so I think they've gone up to 7%.
I see. Okay, and are you seeing a bit of a demand for that just because that's the way the market is and people are still wanting to buy houses?
Yes, especially now that the people are self-employed, they seem to have a lot of money in their taxes, but by the time all the expenses come out, the taxes are just not, for them to qualify. That's where the bank statement program comes in.
Oh, yeah, no, I like that. And if you own your own business and, like you say, you're writing off stuff, that's absolutely because you're proving that you can have money come in the door. You just have the write-offs or the business expenses that show, hey, look, my income at the end of the year is a lot less than what my bank statements show coming in the door. And those types of business bank statements, are they 12 months, 24 months, 36 months? What are they?
Well, their personal bank statements would be 12 months.
Okay.
And if they're business bank statements, then you require 24 months.
I see. Okay. So what exactly is happening in terms of the employment? We talked a little about that just briefly in terms of the amount of money that people make, private businesses. Do you see more businesses opening as a result of maybe some of the lessening of the restrictions from the pandemic? Are people afraid to open a business because of the inflation? What are you seeing?
I think that people are starting to open up and expand and open up more businesses. It's like 50% yes, 50% no.
I see. Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
During the pandemic, how was the Albuquerque area? Was it hit quite hard with, I know we've talked about it before.
Yes, it was basically where everybody was inside frozen.
Right.
And now they're starting to come out and, look at the inventory that there isn't any. And then the prices are going up now. So I think we're at 300, 350,000. There's no more homes
that's incredible.
I've heard.
Wow.
Yes, under $200,000 in Albuquerque.
That's really amazing because I think when we came on the radio in Albuquerque, this is only a couple of years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. I mean, the median home price there was $250,000. It's gone up 100 grand in two years. Yeah, right. This is unbelievable to me. It's astounding.
Yes, it is.
As you know, Albuquerque is one of the hottest markets in the country in terms of overall appreciation in the marketplace.
That is correct. So basically, right now, if you find a home, you want to be able to just maybe go to the surrounding areas, like maybe Los Lunas, Belen, maybe Rio Rancho.
I see. And price,
Albuquerque is just booming.
And the population now, a lot of things here in California. Now, I was looking at I had a list here of the home appreciation in the country, and six out of the top 10 cities in the country where the home appreciation has happened is in California. So what happened is a lot of people can't afford, they move. Is that happening in Albuquerque, or are people still?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of cash buyers that are coming in from California,
yep,
and other states, and buying the inventory. That way, when the market booms, and it's just going up and up and up. I'm telling you, I don't know if people are going to be able to afford a home.
I know it's terrible. It really is. I mean, if you're let's say you're someone young and you want to get married and have a family, where are you going to live? Because rents are also
good house.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Where are you? Do you see that a lot? Do you see a lot of infill, like single-family homes being built by owners?
Yes. Probably now manufactured homes. A lot of people are going to manufactured homes.
Right. And we have lenders, I believe, that lend on manufactured, right? Construction?
Yes.
That's good.
That is correct.
Okay, excellent. No, I mean, because I'm not a hands-on person, and many, many people are, so I always exclude the fact that, yeah, people could find a piece of land and build their own house, or find something that they can, obviously either tear down or do a complete remodel on. And that's always more affordable, especially if you're doing a lot of the work yourself.
Now, let me explain real quick the non-QM loans, the guidelines.
Go ahead. Do so.
It goes up to $3 million in loan amounts, up to 90% loan to value. Credit scores can be as low as 600. Our DTI, debt to income, 50%.
Okay.
And all they require is 3 months, 3 months reserves. And the funny part about it is if you're doing a cash out, you can use the cash out as reserves. So.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, and then another one is we can use also 1099s as income. Not the taxes, just the 1099s.
I see. Can you do blended too, like 1099 and W-2, especially if you have a second job like a lot of people do?
No, just 1099.
Just the 1099. Okay. Hey, Mike, you know what? We're up against it. Appreciate you coming on once again to give us the lowdown on what's happening in Albuquerque. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Can I maybe leave my phone number?
Absolutely. Please. I was about ready to ask you if you could let people know how they can get in touch with you. That'd be great.
Sure. I'm in Albuquerque, and I'm at 505-307-3080.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. That's Mike Torres.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike Torres from Home Funding Corporation down in Albuquerque. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You know, you can hear and listen to what we do on the show a number of different places. We're on 10 different podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Google Music Play, Apple. We're on, I think, 10. Is it 10, John, we're on?
10. Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Excellent.
For sure.
Yeah. And a number of the radio stations we're also on, KCAA, KMET in Southern California, K-Ship out in Vegas. We're at, what's our affiliate down in Albuquerque? What's their call letter?
K-Mine.
K-Mine. K-Mine Country. Mm-hmm. Love those guys at K-Mine. And we're also up at K-Tahoe up in Central California. All of these places are great places to hear the show. If you want to hear the show in archive, they all house the show in their archives. And we're on every week, Saturday and Sunday, at least once, if not twice during the weekend. Please tune in, listen up. And when you hear and you like what you hear, join up. Come to themortgagevoice.com, say that you like what we're doing, or YouTube. Really appreciate it. We appreciate the listeners. We're growing as a station and as a concern in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, let's get to a little bit to news to use. There's so much going on within the economy, within the world, but these particular items really, whether they affect your decision-making, it's interesting. That's why I pulled them out of the news. Okay, Wells Fargo, the home lending is off 33%. 33%. Okay, last year we did about $4.5 trillion in mortgages. Now, when I was a kid and they mentioned the word million, That was, oh, man, you're a millionaire. That was special. You never heard of the word billion, let alone today we're throwing trillions around like it's no big deal. Talking off air again, Elon Musk coming out with a $54 billion offer for Twitter. Unbelievable, right? Is that a real number? I guess to him it is. I guess, what does he have, about $185 billion in the bank? Or somewhere, I don't know exactly where. Anyway, Jamie Dimon from Wells Fargo, no, he's Chase Manhattan. Powerful forces, the likelihood of recession, that's what he says. And he says, and last year at this time, Jamie Dimon from Chase Manhattan was saying that, you know what, the economy looked robust. It looked like we were going to have this golden era where we would have a lot of government spending on infrastructure, we would have low interest rates, and we would have a peaceful world with which to operate. Well, what a tremendous change from last year to this year. If you just look around at what he's saying, and he's a pretty conservative guy, J.P. Morgan Chase, come on, that's one of the financial pillars of the financial, I think they're the largest bank in the country. Anyway, he says powerful forces, the likelihood of recession coming up at the end of this year, maybe early next year. I don't know if that's true, but he's a smart guy. Okay, let's a couple of other things. Inflation, is it nearing the peak? Why do I say that? We just saw a CPI number of 8.5%. It's been the highest since 1981. Why do I say that? I don't say it. This is an article I read. The reason they're saying it is because they say most of that rise this month has been because of the gasoline prices, what the Biden administration likes to call Putin's increase or whatever it is. Regardless of all that, it's supply and demand, right? If you don't have enough supply and a lot of people want it, price is going to go up. Whether it's manipulation by the markets, whether this is all some integral plot, I have no idea. But inflation core numbers only went up 0.3%. So they're saying that maybe inflation has really hit its peak. We're about ready in May to come up with another 50 basis points hike in the Fed interest rates that they lend out on short term to member banks. It's usually the overnight rate. Every bank has to have a certain amount of money in their vaults, I guess, in order to meet the liquidity requirement of the federal government, the CFPB, and all the other treasuries and all the other federal government agencies. So that money that's excess in some banks gets lent out to other banks. And the Fed also lends out money based on this Fed funds rate. So as the Fed funds rates rises, cost to member banks to borrow for overnight liquidity goes up. That particular cost gets passed on to you. Whether it's a non-depository or a depository, they all look to the Fed funds rate as a marker by which some of the rates for mortgages go up. And that's one of the things that we were looking at in terms of inflation, what's happening to cure inflation, why we're saying, hey, maybe we've reached the peak. Let's hope so. COVID disruption surge in China. Okay. China has locked down about a third of their country. Lockdown. What do I mean? I mean, you can't go out of your house. You got to stay in and you're masked and you got to get shots and everything else going on with what that requires. We've in the U.S. have been there many times. Now, in the U.S., are we going to go back to something like that? Are we going to go back to masks? My feeling is absolutely not. I think you'd have riots in the streets. Why do I say that? Just because there were riots in the streets anyway when we were doing it before. People are just, now, personally, I'll get in many booster shots as they give because I want to remain healthy and keep the people around me healthy. And wearing a mask is no big deal. I still do it. I don't profess that to anybody. But for me, that's the way I do it. But will the country put up with mandates? I don't think so. But in China, that's what's happening. So the supply chain of products delivered, either purchased or sold by Chinese companies through this one third of the economy is non-existent. So that's another reason why, do we know that inflation is going to remain the way it is, or are we going to look at China and say, hey, they're slowing down like they were at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, so we're probably going to see prices rise. It's a yet-to-be-determined type of thing. Retail sales up 6.9% year-over-year, 0.5% month-over-month. That's pretty amazing. The consumer has really stepped up to the plate. Now, last year, and one of the reasons they say that inflation happened was that the federal government gave away too much money. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Maybe that is part of the problem, maybe it isn't. I do think that as a result of cutback in both sending checks out on a monthly basis and the Fed purchasing mortgage-backed securities and treasuries has a lot more to do with why we're seeing inflation possibly come under control. But the amazing thing here with this particular number of retail sales is the consumer is still spending. Spending, spending, spending. Year over year, 6.9%. Last year was a bonus year for many, many people. Be interesting to see what happens if labor starts to loosen and people start to lose their jobs as a result of possible future recession. Okay, 12% of homes had price drops in the last 4 weeks. Housing market cooling. This is another indication that raising rates and raising the Fed funds rate is affecting the economy. We all know that the bird in the coal mine is real estate when it comes to 6 months out of predictions. Usually it takes a seller about 4 to 6 months to figure out that their house isn't selling and they have to drop the price. We're here at 12% of the market. Now, a month ago, we were probably more like 3%. So if this number continues to grow, we will say, uh-oh, we got some problems in the housing market. And as I said, 25% of the economy is in housing. 1 in 9 people work in the housing industry, whether it's title escrow, whether it's real estate agents, whether it's lenders, anybody that's associated with it, big part of the economy. Redfin buys Bay Equity. Now, Bay Equity is a company that's been around a long time. I've done business with them myself. I've been around a long time. So what does it mean when companies buy other companies in this type of market? It means that either companies are in trouble and they're looking for financial backing, or other companies that are looking to purchase, i.e. Elon Musk buying Twitter at $54 billion, was worth $70 billion not too long ago. Yes. So companies looking to poach or get in there and get something on the cheap, that's what's happening now. We see a lot in layoffs in a number of different large real estate companies. This is the way Redfin is a pretty good real estate size buying Bay Equity. They see the synergy and they like Bay Equity's reach. Bay Equity is 400 agents in 91 markets. That's loan officers, of course. Movement Mortgage lays off 170. Loan originations off 40%. I said that CoreLogic predicts home appreciation at 5% this year, not the 20% we had been getting. And the 40-year loan recast for FHA borrowers to stave off foreclosure. That's pretty interesting. A 40-year loan. You think about that. If you're in trouble and you have an FHA loan, ask your lender about a 40-year recast. There's no reason that you can't get that. Nobody wants to foreclose on anybody. If 2008 taught us anything, keeping people in their home is the best thing, not only for the homeowner, but it's the best thing for the economy, the neighborhood, and the people around them, and certainly the lenders and the servicers. Although on the short term, they're probably going to take it pretty hard, but I think in the long term, they'll be more happy, and the customers will be more happy, and they'll be more apt to keep people in their homes, keep the economy roaring. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.